What's up, everybody? Today on Birdland BS, it's episode 53. Ravens Pro Bowlers? Pro Bowlers already winning games. The Brigade on a downward spiral. The All-Star debate. And, of course, the two-minute warning. All that and more. Stay tuned. You thought we'd start the show off like that? Birdland BS. Check it out. What's going on, everybody? It's Fred and Scott, Birdland BS, episode 53. We got a lot to talk about. This is going to be an action-packed episode. A lot of hot topics, a lot of interesting topics. Things are starting to make waves in the Baltimore sports world. But man, I don't have my drink tonight. I am like parched already. We're 30 seconds into this thing and I'm already thirsty. It's gonna be a long one, Scott.
Neither of us had any beverages to consume tonight.
Yeah, did not make my last minute run to the liquor store, unfortunately. So this is going to be a dry episode. We'll see how that goes for a first.
Dry in alcohol, not dry in content. That is for sure. We've got a loaded show for you tonight. As you kind of started off, the Ravens Pro Bowlers, we're going to get into that in a few minutes. Yeah. But there's been a lot of things going on. I think we have to hit this, Fred. The big news, you and I both kind of like saw it like right at the same. You texted me about it, and I was actually in the middle of talking to somebody about it.
Yeah.
LeSean McCoy.
Yeah, now I'm going to start the conversation off with this, just a disclaimer. This is all accusations as of now at this point. Nothing has been found as of true yet. But if you haven't heard yet, Buffalo Bills running back LeSean McCoy is wrapped up in a domestic violence accusation. And not just a domestic violence accusation. There's a lot of other things that were thrown out there against LeSean in these remarks and claims. If you're faint at heart, I wouldn't Google search the image.
No way.
LeSean McCoy's ex-girlfriend was apparently beaten pretty badly. And just by the image that I saw online, I mean, it looked like something straight out of a horror movie.
Oh, yeah. Like, I mean, not to be like rude or anything, but her face is busted.
Yeah.
She was cleaned up and there was a lot of blood.
Yeah.
And it appeared, you know, the area around just below her eye. I'm going to guess that that's probably broken, if not shattered. Yeah. The area above her eye, her eyebrows on both sides. If not shattered, at least broken.
Right.
I'm assuming her nose is probably, you know, a goner as well. And I'm sure you saw the same picture I did.
Yeah.
She was a very pretty girl.
Oh, yeah. She was nothing like the image that they showed of her on her daily basis. This is becoming, it's already been an issue for a very long time with the NFL. It's a black mark. With NFL players, it seems to be, you know, obviously it hits home with us with the Ray Rice situation. It brings up the point too, you know, and a debate that I've never gotten into on this show because this show is only, you know, a year into its marking, which was well after the Ray Rice situation. But, I've kind of had mixed feelings on how the NFL handles their domestic violence cases. I don't think they handle them properly to be nice. Obviously with the Ray Rice situation, there was video evidence. There was no getting around what happened in that situation. And once that video surfaced, I mean, actions were taken immediately by the Ravens. And then of course the NFL. A situation like this, no video has surfaced yet. All we've seen are the pictures and the accusations. Now, again, if you haven't heard, just to kind of get in a little bit to the accusations, there have been this again claims through LaShawn McCoy's ex-girlfriend, claims of domestic violence, claims of beating a dog
to the point of kidney failure. Is actually it was actually a Twitter piece that was where the allegations are coming from, being a dog, and the dog wound up having kidney failure from it. Right. The actual I don't know if you actually saw the Twitter post.
I saw it. I don't. That's why I can't quote it word for word because I only read it one time. But I know that there were also accusations of hitting his kid.
Yeah, it actually got into detail about a friend of his having to jump in multiple occasions from him, and it was in all caps, abusively and violently going after his son. I think you and I are kind of on the same page. The NFL needs to kind of step up, and if these are accusations are true in any way, shape, or form, at some point the NFL needs to take it seriously, because in my opinion, these guys are public images.
If you want my honest opinion on it, there needs to be no gray area with these domestic violence situations. It is a privilege to make the money that they make and play in the NFL. It's a privilege.
Oh, yeah.
There should be no gray area with this. If somebody is accused and found guilty of domestic violence, I don't think it should be a matter of, oh, when they get a 2-game suspension or they're suspended for a year. No tolerance. If you want to do away with it, threaten their livelihood.
Yeah. That's...
I mean, look, there's sick people out there, and sick people are going to do sick things, and you're never going to get rid of it completely. But you take somebody from a rough upbringing, you give them a little bit of power, you give them a little bit of money, sometimes things escalate and people take advantage of that type of thing. And if you don't have a clear and written rule that if you are found guilty of some sort of domestic violence, that you will be permanently, in my opinion, permanently banned from the NFL and playing football professionally in the NFL, that's the only way, in my opinion, this changes and there's progress moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're hitting the nail on the head, and I'm just going to come out and say it at this point. This is becoming a regular occurrence.
Yeah.
How many times since Ray Rice have we had domestic violence involved? Now, could some of the accusations across the board be false? 100%. Somebody looking for money. Unfortunately, there are people in this world that are doing that.
Sadly, we have to... That's why I wanted to make sure I preferenced that in the beginning, that these are just accusations.
Exactly.
We don't know the facts yet, but either way.
But if the facts do come out that... And that's what I said. If any of this is true in any way, shape, or form, I 100% agree with you on this. I mean, you have to make an example, not just of LaShawn McCoy, but of any player that does this. If you are a public figure and you need to understand that, it comes with your job. I'm sorry. It is part of your job. You are a representative of your team.
Right.
Right? If you have an issue and it goes public, they have every right to fire you right then and there.
Yeah.
Period. And if there is a federal investigation behind it, I think it's even more reason to do it. Now, I'm going to play devil's advocate because I've heard the argument many a times. Some people come out and say, well, it's not your job to play judge and jury.
And
fair enough.
And that's right. And I absolutely 100% agree with you there. Let the judicial system do its justice. Let it go through the legal processes. I get that. But in the meantime, while that investigation's going on...
You don't get to play football.
You don't get to play football.
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
You're on a temporary suspension, whether it be a paid suspension or an unpaid suspension. Because like you said, there are unfortunately people out there that make these false accusations and things of that nature just to ruin somebody's career, that type of thing.
And if it goes on for years... I mean, once charges are brought, I think that's when you have to go on suspension. But until charges are brought, you're fine. That's what I'm going to say, because charges are brought when the accusations are viewed as legitimate.
Right.
You know, you have legitimate reason to believe at that point. So for my opinion, I think once charges are brought, you are on a suspension for, you know, there's a term, I can't even think about it right now. But you were basically on a pending suspension that pending the results, if it's a 2-year investigation and a 2-year process, it's 2 years.
Yeah, it is what it is.
Once charges are brought on you, there was enough evidence for somebody as a district attorney to be able to say, we're going after this guy.
I agree. 100%. Look, this is a topic that we could go on all night long about this.
Crazy point is we probably would agree on everything.
No, we would. And I think you'd be crazy not to agree. I think, you know, the people that out there that argue against that point, I think they may have something a little wrong upstairs themselves, but, let's talk a little happier subject, and we'll get back on this. I mean, when there's more evidence comes forward and there's more, you know, to this story, we'll absolutely get into this in future episodes. But let's shift gears a little bit. Let's talk a little bit about the Ravens and what I'm thinking might be one of the most anticipated training camps in Ravens history, really, for what I can remember.
I
haven't heard so much excitement from the fans and people on social networks and whatnot.
Not even just that, this team.
Right. Now, I think it could be a couple of things. One, obviously, the excitement around the offense and the draft and some of the players that they've gotten. Two, I think most of Baltimore is just so sick of the Orioles and the losing ways that they need something that they can hang their hat on. You know, not everybody out there was a Capitals fan, so not everybody got to ride that wave that we did. But if you're a Baltimore sports fan, you're looking for something to cheer about. So I think that could be part of it as well. But man, I said this last week. If they would have done what they've done with training camp this year, which for those who don't know, training camp is now being open to the public again. Which in the past,
about damn time again.
Right. Before their first Super Bowl in the early 2000s and 90s, practices were readily available to the public. After their Super Bowl, obviously the attendance at these practices became more and more abundant.
Yeah, they wanted more and more to go.
Right. And technology got better and better, and then people were stealing plays, and there was like a lot of things going on in NFL camps, so they had to kind of like put the restraints on practices.
Thanks, Patriots.
Yeah. So there was a lottery system. There were a couple of practices a year, and there was a lottery system for you to try to get your name pulled out to get, you know, as part of one of these practices. Well, now they're back open to the public. Obviously, there's a lot going on with that. You know, they've got the first full squad practice July 19th. We're a little over a week away from the first practice, and I cannot wait.
No.
2 years ago, I would not have cared about practice. I can't wait to see what this team is going to be able to do and to watch the videos of you know, that the Ravens.com put up and how the wide receiver corps kind of blending with Joe and how they're going to use Lamar. All these things. They're just, it's exciting for me.
My cousin just came on and said, are you guys talking Ravens? He's from Florida. So yes, Jason, we are talking Ravens. But yeah, no, I mean, I think you hit on it. It's there. But for me, the big thing as far as the excitement of this is grabbing national headlines.
Yeah.
You know, Lamar situation, the fact, I don't know if you saw, but this week, Todd Heap's comments went national.
Yeah.
And his whole piece of saying that he sees this core of especially the offensive guards and the tight ends, he wants to see what they are doing. He was asked again. He said the same thing. He's like, I really do. It wasn't just me talking. It was, I really do want to see these guys.
A lot of times I'll hear people on social networks or even just talking to friends that are Ravens fans. A lot of people complain that in years past we haven't gotten enough media attention from ESPN and the bigger networks, NFL Network, and we don't get enough primetime games. We don't get enough home Monday night games or home, you know, Sunday night football games. Lamar Jackson changes that.
Oh, yeah.
This team, if you're not ready for it, get ready. I'm telling you, this team is going to be covered like it's never been covered before, even after their two Super Bowl wins. The only time I can remember the media being this hyped was the first year that HBO did their whole Hard Knocks thing,
yeah,
and the Ravens were a part of that, which was right after their first Super Bowl in 2001. There was a lot of hype around that, and I can just remember the fans and the excitement around Baltimore that, you know, we were going to be on HBO and that kind of thing. And then after that, it just kind of tailed off.
Yeah.
And it's been, for the last 17 years, it's just kind of been mediocre attention for Baltimore, to say the least.
Right. Well, and not even just the fact that, you know, Lamar does sell tickets, Jason, but Jason also brought up the fact, you know, Flacco has a fire lit. He has to. Everyone is in national media. That is one of the things that's being said, is what's going to happen with Flacco.
Right.
How is he going to respond? He has to come out and respond. Ironically, I forget which ESPN analyst did it. He went through and they split 8 and 8, and the two analysts picked the games. And the one analyst, and I forget who it was, because he had him go
0-3
with Flacco out.
It was James Jones.
And, you know, it's going to bring up a piece. But, you know, as far as game management, I think you have to go to Flacco. I think you can't, like you said, you know, you can't put Lamar in, but Flacco is going to be, that's what's going to be looked at for Flacco, is how is he going to do? He's got the weapons now. There are no ifs, ands, or buts. When you've got, you know, big guys like Todd Heap, some of the national media, somebody at work said that they saw something about Steve Smith coming.
I was just getting
it.
Ready to say that. Steve Smith had an interview I saw today where he actually made that exact comment. Basically, right now, Joe Flacco is your guy. You do not want to throw Lamar Jackson into the wolves. You don't want to set him up for failure, which is kind of what you and I have been talking about over the past course, you know, couple of weeks. But Lamar Jackson is 100% the future of this team. You do not take a quarterback. You don't trade back into the first round and take a quarterback at number 32 if you're not planning on using this guy as your future quarterback.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's what's exciting about this is how are they going to use Lamar in his first year? Are they going to use him in situational type stuff? Because, you know, people think like packages and stuff like that. They think, well, that means, you know, he's going to come in for an entire drive, or he's going to come in and take over, you know, maybe the fourth quarter or something like that. That's not how this is going to work. I personally think they're going to use Lamar in just certain situations, maybe on like, you know, one or two big plays in a game. Two game-breaking plays can change a game completely, right? If you're on a third and long situation and, you know,
third and long down by two scores,
something like that, and you've got the DBs playing deep because it's third and long, you bring in a Lamar Jackson and he has the ability to beat you with his arm, or he has the ability to beat you with his feet and he can make something happen. Flacco, you know, it's a one-way ticket. Third and long, he's either throwing the deep ball or he's throwing a check down to the running back and hoping for the best with the running back. Yeah. Lamar Jackson just brings another dynamic. You might see that two or three times in a game. And that's all going to be situational. If the Ravens are winning and they don't need to use him, they're not going to expose him this year. And to Jason's point, Flacco, I think, is poised to have a career year. I've talked about this. I think that the fire is lit, like you said, Jason, and having Lamar pushing him from behind, he's never had to deal with that in the past. I predict 4,000 yards plus. I think he hits close to 30 touchdowns this year. The interceptions is what I kind of worry about. Sometimes when Flacco takes a little bit more chances, the risk reward is great because we end up doing better.
Exactly.
Typically, but I feel like he might throw a few more interceptions than he has maybe in his career. But either way, I think the overall production is going to be the best it's ever been for Flacco, in my opinion.
It has to be, but B, we've also talked about this before. He's playing for a contract, and I'll be honest, in my opinion, he's not playing for a contract with the Ravens.
Oh no,
at all.
Absolutely. Not.
You know, it depends on where he goes. Jason actually says he thinks that Ravens are going to start 4-6, and then the fans are going to start itching. But I think it's all going to come down to Flacco and what he's able to do with the game, and how they use Lamar is going to be interesting. I think you bring up a good point. You're going to see those times, maybe two or three times a game, but you can't overexpose him. I would be really, really curious to see a package that just comes out randomly. You only do it once. You put Flacco, RG3, and Lamar all on the field at the same time.
Just mind blown. If I saw that, I wouldn't even know what to think.
Do you know what the DBs are going to be doing?
Not exactly what I just did. What the hell do I do? Three quarterbacks. But so James chimes in and says he thinks the Ravens won't make the playoffs, and John is an awful head coach. All right, so James, I like the passion. Look, I'm not the biggest John Harbaugh fan. When he kind of came in and changed the culture of the locker room and got rid of some of the guys that weren't his guys, quote unquote, I think this team kind of lost its backbone. I think his team lost its personality. That's one thing that we've been talking about for months now, is that this team just lacks character. It lacks personality. I mean,
yeah.
Outside of Terrell Suggs, this team is just dry. I mean, really, really dry. And we knew that when we got Joe Flacco, that Joe Flacco is just not that kind of guy.
Oh, guys.
Right. He's just not that kind of guy. He likes Pizza Hut. There's something wrong in that. But the thing that I am excited about is they've made that change now, bringing in somebody like a Lamar Jackson. And I think Michael Crabtree, even Willie Snead, I've seen some of the comments that he called out his former team, the Saints, on Twitter today. If you haven't seen that, go check that out. He's planning on a big game against the Saints when the Ravens take on the Saints. So I like that. I like to see the change. I do think, again, I've said this before, that the message that Harbaugh has may be wearing down and maybe wearing a little thin.
James just says, "Andy drives a Ford."
Andy drives a Ford. yeah, that
we know we're used to, Aunt James.
It's like the Mustang. I still like a Mustang, but outside of that.
So, like, one thing I do have to bring up, because you kind of mentioned it before we kind of run down, you know, the practices that people can catch them at. We've been seeing a few rumors here recently regarding what I would call a typical Ravens move, if it happens. They're interested in DeSean Jackson potentially.
Yeah, there have been some rumors out there that the Bucs obviously have been pretty unhappy with the production from DeSean Jackson. Obviously, there's a lot of turmoil going on in Tampa Bay right now with the Jameis Winston situation. You know, there's talk about domestic violence and off the field issues. This is another guy that can't keep his act right. DeSean Jackson's towards the end of his career, very productive receiver, you know, when he was in Philly.
Except for when you drop the ball before you go in the end zone.
I don't know if he's the right fit right now. Only reason I say that is because we have a cluster of wide receivers right now that if I had to go through and tell you who the five or maybe six wide receivers are that are going to make this team, I could give you the clear cut three or four. But those last two or three spots, there's a bunch of guys that I want to see them get their opportunity that haven't gotten a shot yet. That, you know, obviously we had the two draft picks in Lasley and the tall kid. I can't think of his name off the top of my head right now.
I'm drawing a blank.
Yeah. They've got the two draft picks they had from this year. They still have a kid in Tim White who has been working with RG3 in the offseason. Who brings an electricity to the return game, put up really good numbers last year in the preseason before his injury to his hand. So he spent the entire year on injured reserve.
Right.
I want to see him get a shot. Adebayo, he ended up getting hurt again, so he's done for the year. So that's one less receiver that we have to worry about being in the mix. But I just think bringing DeSean Jackson in right now wouldn't be the right fit. I think if we were looking at it before we brought in Willie Snead, DeSean Jackson, Willie Snead, one or two, you know, one or the other, I might have wanted or might have pushed for DeSean Jackson more then.
Let me ask you this. Would you consider it if you could easily dump Rashad Perriman?
Rashad Perryman's not even a factor in
we
those
We could
numbers.
Just say, you know,
did
here,
you hear
you
me bring up
this.
His name? I did not even bring up his name. Like, that's a curse word when it comes to Ravens fans. There's two curse words, four curse words that I can think of in Ravens fandom. Those four: Kyle Bowler.
I knew it's gonna be the first one.
Billy Cundiff, Lee Evans, and now Brashad Perryman. If you want to throw Matt Elam in there, he's another one. But those four are curse words to Ravens fans. I did not bring him up because he is not even a factor. I cannot believe he's still on this roster. I know that there was a deadline day with him that meant like a big kind of big roster bonus, like $600,000 or something. I'm not sure if we're at that deadline yet, but if he makes it beyond that deadline, I'm surprised. I'm pretty set with the wide receiver core that we have. I want to see what we have develop, get a shot. If they brought DeSean Jackson in some sort of way through a trade, cool. But I don't necessarily think that's the right fit right now.
Yeah, no. I mean, we actually had Jason chime in regarding Kenneth Dixon being a pass catching back that can bring a big dynamic to the game.
Absolutely.
Brings up that Harbaugh loves him, but he's just been hurt.
No, and that's yeah, a big factor. He did come in a little out of shape to mini camps, but not, you know, nothing to worry about there. The big thing is obviously he's coming off an injury, and I'm hyped. I'm excited for the running game with this team. We've talked about this too
hundreds of times.
Alex Collins. You get Kenneth Dixon back. You add the threat of a Lamar Jackson to the running game as well, because that's just extra yardage from the quarterback position we weren't ever getting before. And we were a top 11 running offense last year.
Right. Like, and that was with...
And a healthier offensive line. I feel like I'm hitting a dead horse here because I keep saying the same thing about the running game. I'm super excited. I'm right there with you, Jason. I think Kenneth Dixon brings another excitement out of the backfield as a pass-catching threat, kind of a la Danny Woodhead, but obviously younger, quicker, shiftier, just doesn't have the seasoned veteran. You know, he's got some learning to do at the NFL level. He hasn't had a whole lot of experience yet, but I'm excited to see what he can do.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited as well. I mean, like I said, there's been some major changes this year that are obviously for the good, you know, not only on the line, but also, you know, on the defensive side of the ball as well. We've been talking a lot about the safeties and the fight there. We've got six safeties right now that have to, you know, we got to figure out what order you're going to use them in the depth chart, who you're going to let go, who you're not going to let go. Obviously, Weddle, it sounds like Weddle is definitely going to make it no matter what. I've heard DeSean Elliott is actually looking pretty good.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to see what happens there. I don't think he's going to be your other safety, but I do think he's going to be, you know, second on the depth chart.
Yeah, they've got some depth finally at the, you know, at the defensive back position. I don't know if you saw it, but the latest Madden ratings were released, and the Ravens defensive backs did not fare too well. At least the safeties did not. They were not in the top. Neither Weddle or Jefferson were in the top 10 in safety grades. But, you know, again, Weddle's more towards the end of his career. Jefferson had a bad year last year, honestly. There was a lot more hype around him, and I was a lot more excited about that signing and kind of deflated towards the end of the year with his actual production and his ability to cover in the pass. So hopefully we'll see some changes there with Wink Martindale taking over and kind of giving those guys a little bit more leeway and that kind of thing. So we'll see. Look, I'm so freaking excited about this team and the upcoming training camp that I skipped over a bunch of things that I wanted to talk about with training camp. So just to kind of give you guys a rundown, the first full squad practice is Thursday, July 19th. Like I said, it's a little over a week away. They're going to begin 1 week earlier than normal due to the fifth preseason game this year, the Hall of Fame game against the Bears. The last training camp's going to wrap up Tuesday, August 14th. Again, they are doing open practices throughout training camp at the Under Armour training facility in Owings Mills. August 6th and 7th, if you're planning on going to any of the practices, put August 6th and August 7th on your calendar and try to make it to those two practices. The reason I say that is because the LA Rams are coming to town for combined practices with the Ravens. That's a really, really exciting team. That's another team that was already good and made a few big additions some questionable additions character-wise, but not talent-wise. When you look at, you know, Marcus Peters, Dominican Sue, two guys that maybe have some locker room issues and maybe have some personality issues, but they're both really good players at their respective positions. So it would be exciting, I think, for fans to get out there and see those joint practices. Saturday, July 21st, for families, if you've got kids, 6 p.m., fireworks that night. That's always fun. They always put on a really good show, and that's the one practice that will be at M&T Bank. Yep. So if you are looking for a free practice to go to at M&T, that would be your date.
Yeah, no, I definitely think those are. It's going to be fun to see a lot of these things. One thing, you and I talked about it way back when it first came out. I do not like the whole combined practice thing.
I think it's a lot of fun. I think it's kind of cool.
For fan-wise, I get it. But for team-wise, I don't want somebody being at my practice. You talk about spying. You talk about all this stuff. You don't think there's some the Rams can go back to somebody and go, hey, this is what they were working on.
Oh, no.
You're going to be pulling it back. I get that. But at the same time, you do it is a practice. You do have to work on these things.
I get that. But, I mean, that's why they're doing, you know, the couple joint practices that they've done. They did it with the 49ers. You're talking about an AFC North team partnering with an NFC West division team. So not in the same conference, not in the same division. Really, you're only going to see them if you've got the one matchup a year against them or if you see them in the Super Bowl.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, I understand what you're saying. I mean, there's the possibility of trade secrets and that kind of thing. And, well, you know, I'll dig for this information if you do this for me. What I get that. But I personally, as a fan, it's just like going to your old high school scrimmage games before, you know, the season would start. And you're playing against your rival in a scrimmage game. Those practices, they get down and dirty because they've been beating up on each other for weeks after weeks. They're looking to go after somebody else. So when they get together, it's a lot of fun.
That's another reason, though, because then you increase the likelihood of injuries.
Yeah, no, that's true.
That's another thing that's not good. Crabtree and Tlaib love each other from James.
Oh, yeah, that'll be a lot of fun. I hope Crabtree's not wearing a necklace that day because it won't last.
No, and Jason says at least they're in the NFC. One thing to throw out there for everybody as you're listening, you know, definitely be sure to be sharing, you know, everything that we're doing. We're continuing to grow. We appreciate you guys watching. We love doing this, you know, back and forth with you guys, especially on YouTube and Twitter and Facebook as well. So please definitely make sure to share with your friends, you know, like it and comment on things. Tell us what you want to hear us talk about, you know, and it definitely will be something that we continue to do.
Two Chainz always giving each other jewelry. I like it. But in other news, so there have been quite a few Ravens, former Ravens, that have been pretty active lately. For those who haven't seen, the AFFL, so that's the American Flag Football League, we'll just say that they're trying to promote this league. They're trying to grow this league. Some former NFL players have been joining in.
Big names.
I've watched some of the games. It's pretty fun to watch. I haven't seen it in person yet or anything like that, but kind of cool to see some old people out there. But there are a bunch of old Ravens involved in this league. And I'll just go down the list. Obviously, Jacoby Jones.
Pro Bowler,
which if you're anything like me, one of the things I always look forward to with Jacoby was his touchdown celebrations. This guy, you talk about a dancer and an entertainer and that kind of thing. He was always funny and always fun to watch. Scored a touchdown in his first game, and he didn't disappoint with the touchdown celebration. Look that up if you get to see it.
It's a funny video.
Another Pro Bowler, former Raven, Justin Forsett. Good to see him out there and still active. He looks like he could still play in the NFL the way he's running around.
Another former Pro Bowler.
Yeah. Former running back Lorenzo Taliaferro, former corner, and former Terp Josh Wilson. Former safety, James Ahedebo. Charles James. Now, he wasn't with the Ravens very long, but if you're a fan of, I mentioned earlier, Hard Knocks, you'll remember Charles James. He was a guy who had the good sock game for the Houston Texans. And I don't think he ended up making the squad. Or no, he did end up making the squad, but then ended up getting cut or put on the practice squad later on. He ended up coming to the Ravens, same deal, got put on the practice squad, and then claimed to another team. So
shoved off.
Yeah, he's out there playing. Dennis Dixon, which was the former Steeler quarterback who ended up coming here, played us tough when Roethlisberger and Charlie Batch went down in the same year. They went to their third guy, Dennis Dixon, here in Baltimore, and played us tough. He's playing in the league. Gerard Johnson, another corner quarterback that was here for a cup of coffee. Jeremy Ross.
I love how you put that. Guy. I'm sorry. He was just here for a cup of coffee.
He literally was. I think he even made it through a regular season game. I think he was just here for training camp.
Yeah.
Former corner Brandon Boykin, another former running back Bernard Pierce, and journeyman quarterback, somebody that I was actually high on in high school. I saw this guy's high school tapes and thought, man, this guy's going to breeze his way through college and have a huge NFL career. Jimmy Clausen. Wow, was I wrong there? He did have a very good high school career.
Wait a second. If you were watching him in high school, what is he, 50 now?
No. Wow. No, but you know, YouTube is that way. They promote, you know, high school videos. Like when I was in high school.
He does have to be 40 though, right?
He's 40? No, he's younger than me. Yeah, he's younger. He's probably early 30s.
Gonna make me look it up.
31, 32, I'm gonna say. But this kid was really good in high school. Yeah, he has a pedigree. I think his family's been involved in football for years. But anyway, he got picked up by the Panthers, ended up having a crappy NFL career. But he's out there playing in the Arena League Football League if you want to watch him play. Kind of fun to watch if you haven't seen it yet. They've got kind of different divisions. They've got the amateur divisions and they've got the pro divisions. I can't wait to see the two mash up, you know, the amateurs versus the pros. Remember that show, Average Joe's, or whatever it was?
That's a good show.
That was a pretty cool show. I want to see that again. But yeah, so if you want to see some former Ravens in action, take a look at the Arena Football League.
Yeah, it's definitely, you mean the American
Flag Football League. I'm sorry, the American Flag Football League. But speaking of the Arena Football League, that's where I was going with it. That's where my mind was. While I'm so excited about the Ravens, I'm not so excited about our brigade, which ever since we went, and I don't know if it's a curse or not that maybe we put on them. Maybe we just need to go back there to change the tide. Maybe we just need to stay away from them. Maybe we just need to not talk about them at all. I don't know. But the brigade lost their third game since we've been there, and they lost to the Washington Valor.
So y'all know, the Valor are the worst in the league. They were 1-10 going into that game.
Yeah, lost that game 42-35.
One possession game.
Yeah,
in Arena Football.
Finished the season. I mean, we were 7-2, 7-2, and we were hyped about going and watching this team. They've lost three now. They're 7-5 to finish off the regular season. The Empire take the crown for first place for the first seed in the playoffs at 8-4. But it really doesn't matter. It's a four-team league. All four teams get a chance to go into this thing. So we'll see what happened. But I can tell you one person that is not happy right now, and that is head coach Omar Smith.
God, was he pissed when we interviewed him. What's he like? I don't even want to be in the same room as him now.
If you can remember those cartoons, like where you just see like the steam rolling out of like the person's ears in the car, that's what I imagine Omar Smith is right now. Like the amount of anger that came out of this guy in the first loss. Now there's three in a row. I can't imagine he's sleeping too well right now.
No, just to remind everybody, I want to play the clip from when we interviewed him. Yeah. Just part of it, not all of it. But I'm going to stop it at a certain point. Listen to this.
How you doing, Omar?
I'm doing better. Omar. Yeah.
All right, Omar, talk about that game tonight. I mean, you guys came in and set a franchise record for points last week, and then you come in, and what happened?
We weren't mentally prepared for a physical ball game. Too many mental mistakes. Starts with me. I got to get it corrected. We got a tough road game next week.
Wait for the F bomb drop.
Division right now, and you got to play Philly next week. And Philly's kind of nipping at your heels, along with Albany, you know, for the titles or for first place. So you got to be ready for them?
You got to go try to win a win a ball game.
That's right. You heard him say football game. Yeah, he wanted to say it, but he stopped himself.
Honestly, the audio clip doesn't do it justice. If here I am. I'm 6'4". I'm like 275. I'm this big guy. He is not very big.
He's my size.
He's in great shape. But I was nervous standing in front of this guy. Like, holy cow, am I going to get punched if I ask this guy the wrong thing?
I'm 5'10", and he's my height, and you were scared of me. Like a guy my size.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Like, so I can only imagine here after the third loss how they're doing. But playoffs start July 14th. The Brigade are going to be playing the Soul in Philadelphia at 6 p.m., and then they'll be at home on 7/20 at 7 p.m. So you want to explain how this whole playoff thing works? It's kind of bizarre. It's totally different than anything I've ever heard of a playoff bracket. So go ahead.
I don't know how, like, who thought of this, who thought it would be a great idea to do it this way, but here's how it works. So they play one game at the away, one game at home. If you split the games, one team wins each game. It is then based on aggregate score.
So total points scored.
Total points scored between the two games. And then if it's a tie, then it goes to an overtime.
Yeah, it's the most bizarre thing I've ever heard. I mean, if there's actually an overtime, that means that they're extending the football game. They're giving, you know, it's not like they're protecting the players. They don't want them to play more football, because football is a much more physically demanding sport, obviously, than anything else, you know, basketball or baseball or anything like that. That's why the NFL and football playoffs are one game series. You don't see a best of seven series. That just wouldn't happen in football. It's too many games. But if you've already made it two, I just don't understand this whole stupid, I don't know.
It's literally if the score is tied, you go to an overtime period. Like, you have one period, not another game. You have one period. And the only way you get that is if it's split and the aggregate score is a tie. So if you blow out the other team the first game and then you get blown out the second game, if it's a total aggregate score of 110 to 109, that's it. Game 110 over. Wins.
Yeah.
Like, I never heard of it. It's crazy. Whatever.
We'll see. We'll see what happens with the rules next year. If they do expand to eight teams, like has been talked about, I'm pretty sure that it's almost finalized.
I've heard Jersey is definitely one of those teams.
Yeah, I'm sure. Obviously, those things will adjust, and we'll see. But speaking of being pissed off.
Do we have to go here? Do we really?
At this point, can we still even be mad with the Orioles? Like, they've been so bad now for so long. Not just this season. If you go back and look at the last 162 games, you go back and look at a rolling 162 games, there's nothing new with this team. This team is a bad baseball team. Can we even be mad anymore?
We've lost 24 of our last 29, and that was going into Monday, and then we split. So for all intents, we've lost 25 of our last 31 games going into tonight.
I
think you're right. At this point, it's ridiculous. I don't think you can be mad at this point. The only reason I'll be mad, and the only reason I am mad, is that we haven't made a move with Manny, or we haven't made a move with Adam.
Yeah, no, that's obviously the big talk around the Orioles right now, or obviously the trade rumors, and there's a ton of them. I mean, it seems like every time I refresh my Twitter feed, there's a new Manny Machado, or there's a new Adam Jones, or Zach Britton, or some sort of package of the two rumor going on. Obviously, the latest rumor, if you haven't heard, that the Yankees not only have jumped into the trade discussions, but are now front runners for possibly landing Manny. There's been even some talks about a Manny and Britton package to New York. What's your opinions on this?
Well, I actually heard some more on it. I heard that there is some talk of a massive potential deal that would involve Manny, Brock, Britton, Gausman.
All of them.
I've heard variations of it, but one of them was that all of them could be included in a package deal.
See, I've heard all those names, but I've heard of
like one and one or
right,
one and
packages yeah, exactly. with them, but not one package packaging them all.
Well, to me, it would be quite interesting. I mean, what are you going to do? You bring on Brock. What are you going to do with Dylan Betances? You bring on Britton. Chapman.
Yeah.
Gausman. What do you, if you take Gausman, you just had the news out of New York this morning. They took Masahiro Tanaka off the DL and he's now reactivated. You know, that makes a major change to the AL East in my opinion, because Tanaka is a great pitcher, always has been. He's always killed the Orioles and he's done well against the Red Sox.
Tanaka started tonight, I believe.
Did he? Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things that it's crazy to know and see what's going on. These rumors just continue to swirl. I mean, I've seen Dodgers again, yeah. You know, coming up. The one thing I'm actually surprised, Yasiel Puig went down today, or I guess we got put on the DL yesterday or today. Are they looking for a potential package deal? Manny Adam.
I don't know, but
you'd have to give up a lot.
There have been some talks. There have been some talks with Adam Jones. And the other night after the game, Gary Thorne had an interview with Adam Jones. And Adam Jones kind of, in a way, I'll let you listen. You give me your opinion on it.
Your name obviously is in that mix, Manny. He gets most of the attention regarding it. But the trade thing, What do you think?
I've never been in this position, so everything that is well, nothing's happened yet. I mean, not even any conversations about anything. So I have no idea about any direction the Orioles are seeing with myself or with Machado or with Britton or with Brock. So I take it one day at a time, I guess, and just see whatever happens, but they can't do nothing without my permission. And, you know, I'd have to talk to my wife about everything. So we shall see. All I know is right now until July 31st, I'm going to be an Oriole and, you know, hopefully finish it out here.
Does that cause a lot of looking over your shoulder every day, thinking about what's going to happen now?
Well, I think what it does is that all the scenarios that you've fathomed for other people, now you kind of like throw your name in there. You know, you look around at teams that could use outfielders, look at teams that could use veteran players, teams that could use a shortstop or third baseman, Manny, and you're like, oh, well, he could fit there. And obviously you do it other, you know, in previous years, well, you know, when you see the trades happen, oh, that's a good fit. So now you just put your name into that equation and, you know, you see the possibilities of what could happen, you know, what can happen, and you just roll with it. But I don't know.
All right, I'll ask you one last tough one. Somebody comes, chance to win a World Series. They want you. Would you be willing to consider saying, okay, I'll let the trade go through?
If I think the best scenario is what the Yankees did with Chapman, trade him away, got great pieces, and then re-signed him. And he won a World Series, and then they re-signed him. So.
Did you catch that?
Oh, I caught it.
Yeah. So I had mentioned last week that I thought the perfect scenario would be, and in my opinion, I think the Orioles owe it to Adam, would be to give Adam a fair shot at a World Series. The guy obviously has made his home here. I know his heart and everything is in San Diego because that's where he grew up. That's where he's from. But he's made a home here. This has been his home for the last, 10 years or 11 years, however long it's been. Might even be longer than that now. Yeah. He wouldn't have said something like that if there wasn't something to it. Give him that shot to go out and get one more shot at winning a World Series. And hell, if you can pick up some good prospects in the meantime by doing that, what do you have to lose? That's a win-win situation. You are not going anywhere this season. There is no positive to come from this season. The only positives that can come from this season are the acquisitions that we make with these trades. And if these trades are done the right way, you know, there's been a lot of talks with the Yankees going on lately. And a lot of fans, there's a lot of backlash. Oh, you don't want to trade within the division. You don't want to give Manny to the Yankees. I've got news for you. In a couple of months, Manny can sign with whoever the hell he wants to, regardless.
Yeah.
So if he wants to be in New York and he wants to sign with the Yankees because they're the highest bidder and that's where he wants to be, he can be there regardless of what you think or regardless of what the Orioles do or don't do from here on out. If the Yankees are going to blow you away with an offer for a rental to have Manny for the next couple of months to finish out their season and make a World Series run, you make that trade without question.
Yeah, you have to.
And I don't understand the narrative that, you know, you don't like to trade within the division, yada, yada, yada. I get that if both teams are in the same hunt and both teams are in, you know, the division race, you're not swapping players back and forth then. That just doesn't make sense. But in this situation, the Orioles are on pace for historically the worst season of their existence. There is no positive to come from this season. You get the most that you can possibly get from this deal, whether it's Britton, Machado, Gausman, Adam Jones. I don't care.
You have to. You've got to pull something out. We actually had we have somebody commenting on YouTube right now about saying that you know, he thinks that Adam should retire an Oriole and will definitely be a top 10 Oriole of all time.
And I agree with that
100%.
100%. That's not what I'm saying. Hopefully you're hearing me on this, that I'm not wanting to trade Adam Jones away for ever. I would love to see exactly what he said in that interview with the Aroldis Chapman thing. Trade him away, get a couple of pieces back that you can build around, and then bring him back in the offseason.
Here's my question. If you don't trade him, does he sign with the Orioles next year?
No.
Yeah, I don't think so
either. I don't think so because, one, that's kind of stabbing him in the back in the way because you're putting him through a torturous year anyway, especially if they get an offer. Now, if the Orioles don't get any offers for Adam Jones at all, then I mean, you can't make a trade that isn't happening. You can't force somebody to take Adam Jones. But
you can shop him.
Oh, absolutely. And that's what I'm saying.
You have to shop him.
If you have done your due diligence and you've made it apparent to try to shop him, then maybe Adam Jones comes back and signs later on in his career. But I will tell you this. I don't think if he doesn't get a shot here the last couple of months to go win a World Series, I think he signs a 1 or 2 year deal elsewhere where he has a shot to win a World Series. Give him 1 or 2 years to make that happen. And then when that contract rounds out, then maybe he thinks about coming back here to Baltimore, signing for his last 2 or 3 year deal, playing out his days here in Baltimore and calling it a career.
Yeah, I mean, I think you owe him that. And DB from YouTube says he totally agrees with what you're saying 100% and he gets it. I think you have to. I think the underlying comment there that he made was, I'm an Oriole until July 31st. That's why I asked that question, because I think in my head, if he's not traded, he's basically saying, August 1st, I'm done with you guys. Like, I'll play, but I'm playing for my contract. I'm continuing to play for a contract.
And that may be.
And it won't be in Baltimore. I think that's underlying there. But I think it's really important to say that he has done a lot for the Orioles. As much as we give him crap, as much as I give him crap for, you know, the low and away curveball that he seems to have imparted on this team, in my opinion. We won't get too far into it, but it's a cancer a little bit.
He's done
plenty of good for this team.
Done plenty of good for the team, done plenty of good for the organization. You know, look, he's a very opinionated kind of guy. If you follow him on social network, he's not afraid to call somebody out. He is not afraid to put a fan in their place when a fan's being inappropriate, that type of thing. He doesn't mince his words, and I like him for that. I really do.
You got to respect him for it.
I respect him for it. And like I said, he's done a lot of good things in the community. He involves himself with a lot of things. I'm a big Adam Jones fan. I'm wearing his jersey today in hopes that this isn't the last time that I get a chance to wear it with him being on the team. But yeah. We'll see. So,
well, talking about him, you got to talk about if you let him go, who's his replacement? And there's a guy that's been heating up that you have been hot on. And that's Cedric Mullins. Mullins has batted in AAA Norfolk so far this year. He's had, I think, like 109 at-bats in AAA Norfolk so far this year. He's 40 for 142. That's a .282 average. In his last 10 games, the kid's batting .395. He's 17 for 43.
I'll give you one even better. In his last 19 games at AAA, he's batting .359, .425 on bases percentage, .615 slugging percentage. He's got 7 doubles, 2 triples, and 3 home runs in his last 19 games.
He's
I'd say that's pretty damn good.
He's his bat is major league ready. From what
his
I hear,
his glove is major league ready.
I was gonna say, from what I hear, his glove is major league ready. The question is, what's stopping him from being here? I think it is, can we move Adam? If they can move Adam, if they can get him moved, you're going to see Cedric Mullins. If not,
he'll be a September call-up.
It will be, but I think you have to see the kid before then.
Absolutely. I've been calling his name since he was in Double A.
Yeah.
I didn't even want to see him get a chance at Triple A, but you know what? It is what it is. They've done that now, but look, he's proven to them that he can hit. It took him, a week or two to kind of get his grounds going in AAA, but now he's back to hitting like he was in AA. That I don't know if you've ever been there or not, but that stadium in Norfolk is not the most hitter friendly as it is here in Baltimore.
I've heard
that.
I've not been there, but I've heard it.
So these numbers will play even better in Baltimore as far as like his power numbers, his gap numbers, you know, his home run numbers, those types of things. So I've been high on this guy since last year.
Kid's got a lot of speed.
He's got a lot of potential. He brings that traditional leadoff hitter type mentality.
Exactly.
He's a guy that can get on base. He's a high average guy. He can work a count, and he brings speed. He brings another dimension that this team just doesn't have. At this point, what else do we have to lose? Get what you can get for Adam. Bring Cedric up here. Do what you can do for Manny. And if you can get anybody else out the door, Britton, Brock, even Givens. And Givens might bring back a good piece because he's controllable for a couple more years. So teams like that.
Well, I think that's why the Yankees, Gausman's actually being thrown around with that, because Gausman is controllable. He has another 2 years of arbitration remaining, and his current contract is 1 year, 5.6.
Right.
So you can you have a little bit more control. Are you going to have to recognize during this his next arbitration, if you take him, he's going to be getting more. He's going to be getting closer to 6'4", 6'5".
Right.
If he continues the following year, you're going to have to recognize the following year, you're probably looking at 7 or 8, depending on what kind of year he has. If he has another, increasingly good year. But I think overall, you just have to look at the fact that these guys are ready. There is no scenario that these guys are not up before September, in my opinion.
No, there's no way. And at this point, they need to bring them up now, but that's, again, we could beat that horse till it's dead.
We got to hit on the fact that we talked about Manny, but he's the only Oriole that will be a representative to the All-Star game as of right now.
And that's all fine and dandy, and good on Manny. Manny's had a great year this year. He deserves it. But I think a guy that I'm a little bit more excited about making his first All-Star appearance, number 21 himself, well, 22 now, 22 now in Atlanta, Nick Markakis. Cakes, selected to his first All-Star game, 1,928 career games before his first All-Star selection. That's the most games ever played in Major League Baseball history before making your first All-Star game. Congratulations to Nick. I couldn't be happier for this guy. This is a guy I was super depressed about. When they traded him away, I was devastated by it. I mean, I understood it to a degree when they tried to explain it, but He was him and Adam Jones, 2110, if you remember that promotion.
Yep.
Like that, they were the heart and soul of this team.
DB on YouTube says, finally.
He was a silent leader in that clubhouse. Oh, God, he wasn't real big with the media. You know, he wasn't real vocal. You know, he's still not, but he's kind of like that father that like picks and chooses his battles wisely. Like, he doesn't get all up in arms over the little things, but when he needs to lay the pipe down, he lays the pipe down and people know to take him serious.
Oh yeah.
And that's kind of how he leads in a clubhouse. And this team's lacked that, since he's left, and never been able to replace that.
DB actually brings up a good point. He had the most hits in MLB history without an All-Star game appearance.
Yeah.
So, you know, he definitely, this is, we all in Baltimore, I think almost every Baltimore fan could agree or should agree, this is well deserved and, in my opinion, well overdue.
Absolutely.
And Nick Markakis is one of the most consistent hitters in all of baseball across a 10-year span. I mean, the guy is the only one that you could probably say is more consistent is Ichiro.
Yeah. I can say I'm going to tell you a quick story, and it was the first time I ever got to see Nick Markakis play, and it was the first time I ever went to an Aberdeen Ironbirds game. I was sitting behind the third base line, sitting behind third base about 3 rows off the field. Mind you, there's really not a bad seat in that stadium, but these seats were freaking awesome. I'm literally right behind the third base coach. I could smell his cologne if he had it on. Like, that's how close I am to this guy.
Stop sniffing the people in the field, Fred.
Guys on first, ball gets hit down the right field line and goes in the corner of the outfield wall there in right field. Guy that's on first is hustling his way around second and coming to third. Markakis picks this ball up in the corner of right field and throws a dart. I mean a dart. No hops. Hits the third baseman in his chest. Tag goes down, and I had this guy by a mile. Still to this day, the best throw I've ever seen at any level. And this was at the low A level when Markakis had just gotten drafted by the Orioles. I can remember it like it was yesterday, and it's a memory that I'll always have. He was just the epitome, and still is the epitome, of the true workman. This guy always hustles. You never question effort when it came to Markakis. He's had multiple years in the past where he deserved to be an all-star and was a snub. And that's something we'll get into here in a couple of minutes as well, is the all-star selection process and some snubbing. But I want you guys to hear what Nick Markakis had to say with his first selection.
Nick, there's that expression that things happen at the right time. After all those years in Baltimore where many people thought that you deserved a nod before, is this the right time, even though you had to wait so long?
It is what it is. You know, whether it came, you know, my first year or this late in my career, it's, you know, going to be an exciting time. You know, it's something I've never experienced. You know, I got Freddie to lean a shoulder on there, so... You know, I'll just have fun with it, roll with it. It's going to be a good experience, and, you know, I'm looking forward to it.
Does it add something that it's in D.C.? Does it add something that it's in D.C.?
Yeah, it's nice and close to home, you know, especially, you know, us being there after the break, too. So it's going to be, you know, a nice little, not vacation, but, you know, it's going to be nice to be home for a week, be able to go back and forth, and, you know, have friends and family there, so it'll be nice.
Nick, throughout these years, you've waited a long time for this moment. Is there something in particular you're looking forward to?
You know, just being out there with, you know, the best baseball players in the world. You know, I had the chance to go to the Olympics in 2004 and, you know, to be around the best athletes in the world. It was an awesome experience. And, you know, you're going to be playing with guys that you go out there and try to beat on a daily basis. So it's going to be nice to be able to... you know, socialize with those guys, be around them, and, you know, just hang out for a couple of days.
So he's excited. Now, you can never hear as excited
that's
as
my
Mark
point.
Markakis.
That's my point. He's just, he's so middle ground, never too high, never too low, picks his battles when he needs to. But that's Nick Markakis excited. I think the only time I've ever really seen Markakis smile, and I don't know if you've ever seen this video clip or if you were even there for the game.
Oh, I was there.
At the end when they won the division and they're all in the field,
he's got his
celebrating,
hands on his hip, just looking up at the.
Well, he's not smiling. He's just Nick Markakis, the normal Nick Markakis that we see. But then Ryan Wagner comes over the PA address and announces the Orioles are the 2014 AL East champions. As soon as you see this smile that I've never seen at Nick Markakis, still one of the, it gives me chills like thinking about it. I'm just so happy for this guy that he finally gets it. Not only gets selected, but selected as a starter. I think it's a really, really cool situation.
Yeah, no, I definitely, I think it's great. DB again chiming in on YouTube says, when Nick retires, he has a place right at the top of the Orioles Hall of Fame.
Oh, 100% yeah. He'll 100% be an Oriole Hall of Famer for sure.
So I think we have to get into, you brought up the snubbing.
Yeah.
Blake Snell snubbed, yet he leads the AL in ERA.
Yeah, so this guy for the Tampa Bay Rays, he's 12-4 for the Tampa Bay Rays. Let me say that again. For the Tampa Bay Rays, he's 12-4. He's got a 2.04 ERA. He leads the AL in ERA. He's tied for wins in the AL by a starting pitcher. Yet he doesn't make the All-Star game. There's something wrong with the All-Star selection process. This isn't new. This has been for years now, and it's always been wrong, and it's always been something that kind of rubs me the wrong way. I've never been a fan of the whole every team has to have representation in the All-Star game. Like, for instance, obviously the Orioles are having an awful year this year. Manny, justifiably so, made the All-Star game because he was one of the best hitting shortstops in the game. Maybe defensively, he wasn't very good, but you can justify a Manny Machado making it. J.A. Happ from Toronto made the All-Star game this year. He's over a 4-run ERA. But a guy like Snell for Tampa with a 2.09 ERA and 12 wins doesn't make it. There's something wrong with this, and the NBA figured it out a few years back. Something needs to be fixed.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about before, what do we look at? You know, what stat are you looking at? And you bring up the 12-4, and we said, you know, we said before, oh, well, you know, the wins don't mean a lot. 2.04 ERA is pretty good. He's also got his career is 1.3 whip. This year, he's throwing a 1.026 whip.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. Across the board, this guy is dominating the AL.
5.8 hits per nine innings.
Look, the long and short of it is, the system is broken. It's a popularity contest, and that needs to change. Bryce Harper made the National League All-Star team as a starter. He's not batting over 220.
James says they need more fans in Tampa for people to vote.
No, I know, and that's and that's right to my point, James, is that it shouldn't be about popularity. It shouldn't be about the fans' votes in Tampa. I understand that the fans need to be involved in the voting process. I get that, because it's part of baseball. It makes it fun. Passing out the ballots and filling them out, to some people, that's kind of fun. But let me spin it to you this way, okay? This is their job. As a Major League Baseball player, this is your job, right? Everything that you do on that baseball field is either adding to or deterring your resume, what gets you paid.
Yeah.
If Snell is coming up on a contract, his contract is going to be based on his production, and things like All-Star Game appearances and All-Star Game starter are going to pay him a lot more money than not making it. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, no.
You are, you know, for me, I'm in a sales-driven business, right? Let's just use my office for example. Let's say I'm an insurance agent. So let's say I sold the most policies in my office for the month of July. You're an employee there, and you sell 10 employees, or you sell 10 policies less than me. But because everybody in the office likes Scott, they don't really like Fred, they vote Scott as the MVP or employee of the month. But yet you sold 10 less policies than me. How is that fair? That's my point. It's the same type of concept. It should be based on your production. And if Tampa Bay has a bad record, but yet they have two or three guys that are deserving to be on that all-star team, I don't care about their record. They've got two or three guys that are putting up the numbers that they should be putting up. They deserve just as much shot at making that team, not somebody like Bryce Harper, who's got beautiful hair and who's marketable and everybody knows his name. That's why he's on that roster, because everybody, it's easy. It's easy to look at your ballot when you're not a Nationals fan. If you're a Giants fan, you're out in San Francisco.
It's the name you recognize.
It's the name you recognize. So you punch it out, and now Bryce Harper's getting a vote, batting less than 220.
Yeah, James brings up the point. We need to have the players and coaches, not the fans, to vote for these players.
I think I agree, but I just think the percentages need to shift. I think that the fans have too much of the vote. You can't eliminate the fans altogether. Like I said, it's just part of the process. But I think the percentages of what matters needs to switch. I think that maybe there should even be a committee. Maybe a committee of retired players that vote based on stats, based on production, right? You have that committee that votes. Then you've got your coaches, and you've got the players, and then you've got the fans. All of that stuff factors in, but maybe the committee plays the heavier part of the vote, because maybe there's unbiased, you know, opinions and that kind of thing, and they're based on production, not just marketability.
Here's what my piece is. Yes, the process has to change, but you know what it's got to go to? Let's catch up with the day and age. It's got to go to computers. Look, the fans, yes, have to have a vote.
Well,
you
it's
cannot
still on computers. I mean, they still do it on computers. You go online.
I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about is the stats statistics go into a computer.
Right.
No committee, because you know what? There's going to be controversy, and this person was talking with this person, and this part. No, just like the baseball writers, you know, the baseball writers voting on the Hall of Fame. I get it, but it's annoying to an extent, because I'm sorry, Ken Griffey, I love him. I don't care what anybody says. That should have been 100% vote, 100%. No ifs, ands, or buts. If you're not putting Griffey on that ballot, you don't deserve to be doing it. Shut up. You don't understand baseball. Walk away.
Right.
When it comes to this, the fans do need to have a vote. You have to give the fans that ability to vote. So here's what you do. You give the fans the vote, and whoever the fans vote for in each position are guaranteed to be on the team, period. But the stats are what's there. So the stats choose. If the person that's voted happens to be the top leader in stats, guess what? They are the starter. But the starter is the top person in the statistics when it comes to the players in the field. It's going to be the guy who is most productive with his bat in X amount of games. You have to have a qualifier in there. Just like rookie, you know, for rookie of the year, you can't have a guy come halfway in through the year and get named rookie of the year. There's a reason for it. You have to have the quantifier. You have to have the quantifier of, okay, you have to have played in X amount of games.
I agree with
in
that.
Pitchers, you have to have played, you have to have pitched in X amount of games.
Yep.
You know, and then you go from there. You could have the coaches and all that do that. I get it. I agree. But I do think that we have to go a route of saying there has to be, the statistics have to be involved. I think that's kind of your point. But you have to take human error completely out of this.
And I'm good with that. Like I said, I just think something needs to change. And if that's going to the computers and analytics, I mean, analytics are a huge part of the game. You know, Billy Bean and his whole thing with building a team based off of analytics, like that has changed Major League Baseball. And if you're going to involve it with everything else, with the shift and everything else that's going on in baseball, you might as well bring it in as part of maybe the all-star selection process. So I'm all for that.
You have to. Now let's do a quick rundown. We're talking about the snubs. We do have to talk about the starters and, you know, these guys who were elected. So let's just do a quick rundown in the National League. Your starting catcher, Wilson Contreras, first baseman, Freddie Freeman, second baseman, Javier Baez, third baseman, Nolan Arenado, shortstop, Brandon Crawford, outfielders, Nick Markakis, Matt Kemp, and Bryce Harper. Those are your starters. Your reserves, Buster Posey, who we found out, Yadier Molina will be taking his spot this year as Posey is having back problems. You also have JT Realmuto, I think is how you actually say it, for the Marlins. Paul Goldschmidt, Joey Votto, the backup second or first basemans, backup second baseman, Scooter Gennett and Ozzie Albies. Eugenio Suarez is the backup third baseman. Trevor Story, the backup shortstop. The backup outfielders, Charlie Blackmon, Lorenzo Cain, Christian Yelich. Your pitchers, Patrick Corbin, DeGrom, Doolittle, Mike Folnewicz, Josh Hader, Brad Hand.
Congrats to Josh Hader, old mill guy out of Maryland, a former Oriole that got traded away. That's a he's had a monster year for Milwaukee.
Brad Hand has had another monster year as well for the Padres. Kenley Jansen for the Dodgers, John Lester, Miles Mikolas, Aaron Nola, Max Scherzer, Felipe Vezeek. So that is your starters and your guys that were elected. The last spot is down to five guys: Jesus Aguilar, Brandon Belt, Matt Carpenter, Max Muncy, Trey Turner. I think it's going to be Trey Turner.
Yeah, Trey Turner's had a pretty big year, especially as of late. He's kind of turned it on the last few weeks of the month.
For the American League, your starters: Wilson Ramos at catcher, Jose Abreu at first, Jose Altuve at second, Jose Ramirez at third. It's a Jose infield. Yeah. Manny at short. Mookie Betts, Mike Trout, Aaron Judge, your outfielders, with JD Martinez being your DH. Your backups, your reserve players: catcher Salvador Perez, well deserved. Yeah. First baseman Mitch Moreland, second baseman Gleyber Torres for the Yankees. Kid's on fire. He deserves it. Shortstop Francisco Lindor, third baseman Alex Bregman, outfielders Michael Brantley, George Springer. I do not get that one. The guy has been doing horrible. It's
Houston. It's a popularity contest.
It is. It is. Mitch Haniger of the Mariners, Shin-Soo Choo of the Rangers, and your DH, good old Nelson Cruz. Your pitchers: Trevor Bauer, Jose Barrios, Aroldis Chapman, Garrett Cole, Edwin Diaz, J.A. Happ, Joe Jimenez, Craig Kimbrell, Corey Kluber, Chris Sale, Luis Severino, Blake Trenian, and Justin Verlander.
And congratulations to all the All-Stars. I mean, getting selected for an All-Star game is an honor. It's a cool thing. But like I said, there were a handful of names in there that absolutely do not deserve to make this team just based on statistics.
Well, one more. We have the last spot, right? Andrew Benintendi, Eddie Rosario, John Segura, Andrelton Simmons, and Giancarlo Stanton. I want to see Simmons or Benintendi get it. I think both of them deserve it.
I think Simmons should get it.
But I've got a feeling you're going to see the Yankees fans come out of the woodworks for Giancarlo.
Oh, yeah. I mean, again, that's what it's going to be. It's a lot of those last-minute votes and that kind of thing. It's all based on the fans and who they want to get in there. And it'll be Stanton out of the American League, and it'll probably end up being Trey Turner, but I think Trey Turner deservedly will make it out of the National League. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And the Home Run Derby hasn't been announced yet as far as who's participating in that. From what I hear, the announcement on that should be coming out later this week. But just as a reminder, Aaron Judge did win it last year. He is expected to be in it again. I have heard expectations of potentially seeing Gary Sanchez back in it. So we shall see. Who do you think is going to win, by the way? AL or NL?
Man, I haven't really thought that far into it yet. That was actually the first time I had heard the entire roster. Did you know, for those out there that didn't know, it's a dead heat tie, AL-NL wins and losses in Major League Baseball history. It's 43-43-2. They've had two that ended in ties.
And that's why we started playing for home field advantage.
Yeah. No,
so happy that's gone.
I if I had to give the nod to anybody, I think the AL probably got it more right than the NL this year as far as players that should be in. So I'm going to give it to the AL this year.
I got to go NL. All right. I got to go NL. We'll find out.
We'll find out. One of us will be right. Or neither of us will be right.
All right, Fred. You know what time it is, my friend. It's time for this.
I don't know how prepared I am for this week.
And now it's time for the 2 minute
Warning.
All right, Fred. It is your turn this week for the 2-minute warning.
I'm gonna have to drag this one out. Not a whole lot of topics this week, so let's see what happens here.
Anybody chime in with anything for Fred? Hurry. All right, Fred. It's your turn for the 2-minute warning, and your time starts right meow.
All right, so Joey Chestnut beats the world record yet again by eating 74 hot dogs.
Just keeps beating himself.
To win the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. From one fat guy to another skinny guy who eats like a fat guy. Bravo, my friend. Bravo. 74 hot dogs. Surprise, surprise. LeBron's a Laker. As is Lance Stephenson. As is JaVale McGee. And as is Rajon Rondo.
How was like that? How did that one come about?
I have no idea, but if that isn't a cast of misfit characters to build around LeBron, I don't know what is. What is going on in LA, Magic? I'm hoping this is just kind of a Band-Aid to get into next year to sign Kawhi. I don't know. We'll see. Stunt. The rich only get richer. Boogie Cousins signed a deal with the Golden State Warriors. As if this team needed any more stars on their roster. They got them. I honestly don't see myself watching too much NBA basketball this year. Just because it's
pretty
much...
You might as well just turn it on when the playoffs
hit. It's a given. We all know who's going to win it. In related news to why I won't be watching much NBA basketball this season, the Wizards traded center Marcin Gortat to the Clippers for a second-round draft pick. And then they went out and signed free agent forward Jeff Green and center Dwight Howard. I may have been excited about this 10 years ago. Today, for some reason, this just doesn't do it for me.
It's not cutting it.
Giants defensive lineman AJ Francis is furious with the TSA. Apparently, while going through a security checkpoint in an airport, his luggage was searched, which was carrying an urn with the ashes of his late mother. Well, let's just say they didn't do a very good job of resealing the urn, and his mother's ashes went all over his clothes.
Look, she's with him forever, wherever he goes.
I don't know how I'm pretty good at maintaining like composure. I would have lost my marbles if that would have happened to me in an airport. I mean, I would have gone bonkers. You would have had to tie me down, take me out on a gurney. I mean, if that happened like with my mother's ashes or my father's ashes, boom, I would have blown my load. Wow, that sounded awful. That sounded terrible. And that was on Facebook Live. I can't go back and edit that one out.
That was awful. Everybody has to light him up for it.
That was terrible.
What is? I have to ask you. What is it with you? Every time you get the 2-minute warning, you want to end on this weird and sad and like horrific note of this crazy scenario. That's
apparently there's some kind of morbid thing with me. I have no idea, but. Yeah,
you have
right.
Justin in tears right now, by the way.
Oh, man. Well, in other news, I want to let you guys know we are putting together a Birdland BS Fantasy Football League. A few of you already out there kind of know about this and are already in the league. But this will give you guys a chance to play against us. And which should be a lot of fun. It'll be something that we keep up with as the season goes on. We'll talk about it on the show. We'll give you your props when you deserve it, and we'll shit on you when you deserve that too. So, look, we only have a few spots left. If you're interested in playing, reach out to us. If you've got my phone number, call me, text me. If you've got Scott's phone number, call or text him. Reach out to one of us on our social networking sites. Like I said, we've only got a few spots left. We really want true fans of the show to be involved in this thing, which that's all this is. It's people that are either directly involved with the show or some of our biggest fans out there. James, if you're still out there, obviously you're already in there. So
he's too busy laughing at you.
I'm sure.
he literally just posted LOL and crying with a smiley face.
It was terrible. Yeah, so reach out to us ASAP. I think we only have like 3 or 4 spots left.
Yeah, DB, by the way, on YouTube says, breaking news, the Golden State Warriors are the front runners to land Manny Machado, the Orioles infielder.
Yeah, I would not be surprised.
Great job, DB.
Oh, man.
All right, Fred.
Well, that was a good episode, man. That was a lot of fun. No, I made an ass of myself.
Fred's over here blowing his load, apparently. I'm going to get out of the way.
Yeah, you might not want to be in a line of fire that.
All right, guys. Be sure to check us out on the web at www.birdlandbs.com. Fred will not be blowing his load there, I promise. Follow us on all of our social network sites. You are not. Twitter at BirdlandBS, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. Be sure to comment, reach out to us, like, follow, subscribe, all that stuff. You can find the audio podcast now on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Podbean, the TuneIn app, Spotify, and Stitcher are our two newest ones. So be sure to look us up on all those, subscribe to our channels on those, and
give us a follow, man. Write some kind of crazy review about Fred blowing his load. I don't care. Look, the more you review, the more you follow us, the more you like
us. Do we really
want
to go reading those?
Hey, look, I don't care. Whatever we've got to do to get more people watching this show, I'm all for it. If I got to sit here with my shirt off, I'll do that too. Whatever it takes. I don't know if you want to see that, but whatever it takes.
Remember, people, I have to sit across from him and stare at him.
We appreciate you guys tuning in, as always. For Birdland BS, I'm Fred.
I'm Scott.
We'll see you guys.
See ya!